The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
And now we step into the lunchtime doctor. Good morning to you, doctor. How are you?
Hello, hello. I am fine, Tasca. How are you going today?
So far, so good. And, well, base is about to take over, so...
Excellent. So yeah, today is a very special day again, and we are still recognizing the month of Men's Health Awareness. And you know, we want to continue our talk and really get the men involved. And you remember, you guys can feel free to call in anytime with any question and send your WhatsApps to the numbers Freedom 106, Sangeet, and we will give you those, and Sky 99, and we will give you those numbers now.
All right, okay, our numbers to call in at 627-3223 and of course 625-2257. Our WhatsApp message numbers 306-1065, and of course you could feel free, like we just said, message Sky 99.5 and Sangeet 106.1, and they will send your messages right to us here in studio.
Yes, so let's start. What is andropause? Now, I'm sure you guys have heard the term before. Some people call it manopause, but it is the analog to menopause in women. The only difference is it occurs with a gradual decline of male hormones, which would be testosterone mainly, associated with symptoms such as fatigue, loss of libido, erectile dysfunction, among other things.
So andropause we're talking about today, yes?
Yeah.
So what is the, well, andropause, you just mentioned what it is, and how does it, well, of course, differ from menopause in women?
Yeah, so women, usually around the age of 50, they have menopause where they have an abrupt or sudden decline in their sexual hormones, estrogen, and this accompanies many other symptoms. Now, men, they actually have a gradual decline, so that's the one of the key differences. But the other thing is that it actually starts from the age of 35, right? And we actually generally can have a decline of around 1% per year in terms of the testosterone. And data suggests that at 50, half of the men would actually have a significant decline in their testosterone levels.
So what really causes andropause?
Yeah. So there are many different causes. And, you know, basically, generally, with time and with aging, the testosterone levels drop. However, there are other circumstances that are involved too. So stress, right? So chronic stress levels can actually impact hormone levels such as testosterone. So for example, when you have an increase in the cortisol level, you actually have a situation where the body says, you know what, we are in flight or fight mode. And the body's response to testosterone is actually blocked. So now we don't have the aggression, the competition, and things like mating aren't essential. So that is one of the things. Then we look at the lifestyle factors. So unhealthy lifestyle habits, which may include poor diet, lack of exercise, excessive alcohol consumption, and smoking can actually accelerate hormonal changes and exacerbate the symptoms of andropause. And when we talk about alcohol, alcohol can affect the liver. Mm-hmm. And when you have liver disease, you actually affect one of the proteins that bind testosterone.
Now let's take a call. Hello, yeah. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Yeah, I want to ask, doctor,
yeah.
This persistent feeling, especially like if you're in air condition, you start to feel cold very quickly, if it rains and a fall and all of that, and you're feeling cold, and put on sweat and feeling cold.
Yeah.
What could be, some of the possibilities, causes of that?
Yeah, that's a fine question. So the two most likely things I would say may be happening would be, one, the amount of body fat that you have may be very low, and that can actually cause you to have cold intolerance. The other thing would be, is there a thyroid abnormality? Sometimes if the thyroid is functioning on the lower side, you can actually have impaired metabolism and cold intolerance. So those two are probably the two things we look at, because obviously in winter, you know, animals and even humans, they would put on the fat, they store the fat for different reasons, but one is to keep them warm. You understand? So that is why you go through those different processes in terms of gaining weight and losing weight, winter and all these things.
So it's not something that's serious that he should go see a doctor about?
Well,
feeling cold all of a sudden?
Yeah, I would say if it's bothering him to the point where, you know, he's shivering, definitely go and see the doctor, because that it could be that you had sudden weight loss. Mm. These things are attributed to things like cancer as well too. So depending on the like how soon it happened or how gradual it happened and how severe it is, then you need to go to the doctor.
I know right now we have some certain scares with the dengue fever and the malaria.
Right.
I know if there's a fever associated, that will then that's cause us some worry.
True. Yeah, definitely. If you have fever, joint pain, those type of things, then it could be, you know, one of those things, dengue or malaria. There are other things that could happen too, but definitely, yeah, if you're having those things, you need to go to the doctor and let them decide if you need a test or not.
Nice. So back to the andropause. Now, like with women, when they get the hot flashes and stuff, men don't get that?
Not typically, but they can have things like irritability. You know, so essentially you look at the function of testosterone, right? Now, testosterone has many people don't understand how important testosterone is, right? If we didn't have testosterone, we wouldn't be here today. That is one. The infrastructure we have would not be built. You understand?
Right.
The places and spaces that we work in, we probably wouldn't have had them either, right? Now, from in the womb, the fetus, right? The presence or absence of testosterone is what determines if that fetus is a boy or a girl. Mm-hmm. That is the first step. Then you have puberty, and essentially the brain tells the testes are the balls, and essentially it tells the balls to release testosterone, right? And other androgens. And this is what promotes the development of the male, right? The male characteristics. We have deepening of the voice, you know, you have hair growth, you have the growth spurt, you have muscle development. The other things it does is increases your bone density, right? It also improves the amount of musculature you can have. It is associated with red cell development, right? It also is associated with cognitive function. So one, you have vitality, right? So you have the urge and desire to be competitive, to achieve, to do more, right? Also, it is actually linked to dopamine and serotonin balance too. So if the levels are low, you have depression, you have anxiety, right? It also is responsible for fat distribution. So if it is off, the belly swells, you have fat around the chest as well too, right? And also definitely, we all would know that is associated with erectile dysfunction, right? So it is needed to maintain and establish an erection. And it is also responsible for sperm production. So we could keep going on, right? There are many other things. And there's actually data suggests evidence that testosterone has a place to play in terms of insulin resistance, which means the development of diabetes and metabolic syndrome.
Okay.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So testosterone is a wonder hormone. It's not just a sex hormone, right? It without it, you know, you can't really survive for too long, because you have heart disease coming, you have obesity, you know, and is very important.
And what are some of the things that men may do on a day-to-day basis mm-hmm. that could decrease our testosterone?
Right. So the things like the alcohol consumption, mm-hmm. right, smoking, mm-hmm. right, having a poor lifestyle, you know, so the development of obesity, right? And if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, and sleep apnea, and is left untreated, obviously you're going to have difficulties, but added to this, you're going to have poor sleep, right? And poor sleep or poor sleep quality actually lowers your testosterone, right? And if you do that for like a week, is you can actually have the equivalent of being castrated. That is how powerful sleep is. Right, because sleep is when the body repairs and regenerates, and you have that release of testosterone and your growth hormone, which will help with weight balance as well. Two other things would be environmental factors. So we're looking at toxin exposure, pollutants, and even some of the chemicals we have in the products that we use.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful. Even in the car, there's this thing where we spoke about the xenoestrogens, where the dashboard component of the car, when it is exposed to heat, can release these chemicals. That is why they say you're supposed to wind down the glass. We don't understand that. Okay, that might contribute to 0.1% decline in the testosterone, but you add that to all the other things, right? So the plastic bottles and all these things, you add those together, you might end up with 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And 2% cumulatively over years amounts to a lot. And then we start to see the effects,
right?
The diseases that develop. We look at the heart disease, the diabetes, the high blood pressure. And then we understand why men are getting sick, because they, apart from being exposed, they wouldn't check. And because they don't check, we detect very late. You know?
All right. So in terms of andropause, how is it diagnosed and what are the treatment options available to manage its symptoms?
So usually it's diagnosed via a combination of determining the symptoms as well as the blood test, right? So essentially all those symptoms that we spoke about, you know, the lethargy, the lack of vitality, you may have symptoms of anemia because you can have a low blood count. You can have erectile dysfunction and essentially loss of muscle, so rapid muscle wasting, you know, the accumulation of fat and stuff. All those symptoms, if you are having them, then you do the blood test and we find that the testosterone level is low, then we could make the diagnosis, right? The normal range is 300 to 1,000 nanograms per liter, right?
All right, folks, we take a short break and we come back. Remember our numbers. We have one line working, of course, at 625-2257. Call that line. Also, WhatsApp us at 306-1065 with any of your medical questions. Lunchtime, doctor, right here. Oh, we have a... Let's take a call before we go to the break. Hello, good afternoon.
Good day.
Good day.
I'm calling... Since April, I had a complication called H. pylori.
Yeah.
And right now, that affects my little bad. Wondering, like, what I could use or what treatment. Yeah.
Okay, so, fine. H. pylori is a bacteria that occurs in the stomach.
Yeah.
And it can be associated with different things. One, it could be that you have a peptic ulcer disease or ulcers. It can have a role to play in terms of cancer in the stomach as well too, and maybe reflux disease as well too. So if it is detected, usually what happens is you are prescribed things like antacids. One, you are prescribed something called a PPI or a proton pump inhibitor.
Yes.
Right, and then they may also prescribe antibiotics as well too to eradicate the
antibiotics.
Thing.
Yes, two courses of antibiotics.
Exactly. Right.
Yes.
So yeah. So I mean, that is the treatment, right? And probably
I'm not feeling 100 with it.
You're not feeling 100 with it.
Yeah, like I still having like a stomach pains.
Okay, good. So
but not often.
Right. So the thing is, Remember, this is a bacteria, so it does a few things. One, it can cause the erosion of the tissue in the stomach. So even though the bacteria is eradicated, you still have the effects of what it did to the body.
Okay.
You understand? So that now will take time to heal.
Oh.
You understand?
So right now I'm using Opresol and some probiotics.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
But I'm fine. I still have not working.
Yeah,
I went by a pharmacy and he gave me something like Lansoprol.
Right. Lansoprol.
Yeah. You know, for 21 days. I feel plenty better with it.
Right.
But I ended up doing something bad.
Uh-huh. What is
it? I had a couple of drinks.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. So, yeah, so you understand, like, what is the cause of your symptoms, right? Now,
yeah,
because remember, alcohol can irritate the lining. It can cause something called gastritis, which is very uncomfortable, burning in the chest and all these different things. So, so I would suggest you definitely try to avoid the alcohol. And even even after you stop, it will take a little while for the healing to take place. But remember, every time you take that drink, you're going to irritate that lining again.
That,
huh?
That exactly happened.
Yeah, yeah. So, boy, I wish you all the best.
Do I need to take anything otherwise to try to help it out?
Well, no. Remember, it's just rest now. Eh? Rest and recovery. And every time you drink the thing, you're going to irritate the stomach back again. You know, so you want to avoid the alcohol, you take the proton pump inhibitors. They will coat the stomach. That's what they're doing, eh? They're lining the stomach to protect it so that it can heal. Because it's very regenerative, eh? It can repair itself. But you have to allow it, yeah.
The Lansoprol, and you take an course out again?
Well, I mean, how long ago you finished the course?
About 3 days.
3 days? No, no, no. You now finished the course. So definitely it was triggered by the alcohol use.
Yeah.
So you have to wait, right? Give it 3 weeks or so, see how you feel, and then, you know, decide if you need to take another course. I suspect you don't, right? Once you don't, drink the alcohol.
Yes, yes.
True, you know what I mean?
Stay away from the alcohol, my friend. Drink water.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
All right, then.
All right, folks, we take a break and we come right back. Lunchtime, doctor.
Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages, and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts. All to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sojano Street, Arima. Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrist take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages, and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts, all to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their location at the corner of Queen and Sojano Street, Arima.
Right back at you, folks. We're here at Lunchtime Doctor. Dr. Taylor is in today. Of course, 24 minutes after 12. A question here. Hi, Doc. You were talking about testosterone a while ago. I've read online that drinking water out of plastic bottles helps deplete your testosterone. Drinking water out of plastic bottles. Is that true?
Hello.
It's not good for your testosterone.
So definitely, right, that was this one of the things I was alluding to. In the sense that there are certain chemicals called xenoestrogens, and they can mimic estrogen in the body, which will affect the testosterone to estrogen ratio. Long story short, it can affect the testosterone level negatively, meaning it can make it appear as though the testosterone is lower than it is.
Right. So it's best to drink water out of the glass bottles or just avoid plastics.
Right. And if you're drinking from a plastic, look for BPA friendly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Certain foods, of course, there are certain foods that could help your testosterone. Is it true that like avocado, oysters, watermelon, these things?
Yeah. So definitely. So what people need to understand is that cholesterol is the building block for steroids, right? Mm-hmm. And testosterone is one of the steroids, right? Now, things like fruits, vegetables, lean protein, right? Lean protein is the main thing that will actually increase your testosterone and keep the levels normal, because we're looking at things like zinc, right? Zinc is very potent in terms of helping your testosterone. So that is what I would suggest, as well as you may include whole grains as well too, if you like. But things like your lean proteins, those are the best.
All right. Good information. All right, so the potential risk or side effects, we spoke about some of that associated with the testosterone. There's a replacement therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And how can that be mitigated?
Right. So some of the risks can include increasing the size of the prostate gland, mm-hmm. right? Even fluid retention as well, which can cause the blood pressure to go up as well too. You may or may not have mood changes too. So essentially, if you are receiving replacement therapy or TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, and you are having any of the side effects, you need to go to the doctor so that they can assess to determine if they need to lower the dosage or if they need to add on adjuncts in terms of blood pressure medication and things like that, right? Because, you know, these things can be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And in terms of the therapy, that's like, they may give you injections.
So there are injections, testosterone injections, which they may give you every week or twice a week. And especially like once the testosterone is low, right? And you have any symptoms, they can give you this and it can improve the symptoms.
All right. You mentioned zinc just now. How good are those supplements that they sell, the tablets, the vitamins, the supplements? Or is it better to get it naturally? And how could you get zinc naturally in your body?
Right. So zinc, there are supplements, yes. It depends on how bad things are, how good is the diet. I always say the diet is the best thing, meaning what you eat in terms of whole foods is more beneficial than the supplement, because remember, the supplement is not normal, right?
Yeah, so sometimes you might buy this thing, you see a zinc supplement. How do we actually know that given you, you know?
Exactly, because there's something called the bioavailability, meaning if I have 100 milligrams of zinc in a capsule, right, I'm not going to get 100 milligrams. When you say bioavailability, how much of that am I actually getting? Usually in percentage. Am I getting 50%? Am I getting 70%? And most times you won't really know unless you have like the third-party analyses and all these different things, you know. So things like seafood has good amounts of zinc. Beef and legumes, as well as nuts, cashew nuts, your walnuts, your hazelnuts, peanuts. You can get some zinc from chocolate as well too, the dark chocolate, and even the whole grains as well too. So those are some of the foods that are high in zinc.
All right, folks, of course, our numbers are 625-2257. Feel free to WhatsApp us at 306-1065. I'm seeing on the table here, we may have to go to Dalton Brown, optometrist, but I mean, we'll just be confirming that in just a short while as we continue to talk about andropause. Mm-hmm. Of course, in men, very, very important, right? Yeah. In terms of your dietary changes that men can make to support their hormonal health and manage symptoms of andropause, what are some of the lifestyle changes? Like we just told our friend to cool down on the drinking. Yesterday we were talking about smoking. All these things, you know, can affect men severely.
Yeah, so I recommend a healthy lifestyle, right? we're going back to the regular exercise again. You know, I'm sure people are fed up of hearing it. But if you don't want to take medication, et cetera, you have to practice preventative medicine. And we're looking at the exercise as one of the most powerful tools, as usual, again, because exercise will increase the muscle mass, and this muscle mass will offset metabolic disorders and disturbances, which can keep the testosterone levels very normal as well as even high normal. We're looking at the balanced nutrition, right? We spoke about eating a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, whole grains. These are good for keeping the testosterone level optimal. Stress management. We spoke extensively about stress and the cortisol-testosterone relationship. And one of the other most important things is sleep. Mm-hmm. Adequate sleep, right? 7 to 9 hours, yeah? That is optimal.
7 to 9 hours, and that may be a little bit tricky for some folks. And that is like straight sleep from, you know, no break-up sleep. You can't take a nap and come back and take a nap. Straight sleep.
And, you know, unfortunately, we know the society that we live in. We know how things are. People going to bed 12 o'clock, getting up at 4. I have done it, you know, go to bed 10, get up at 2. But when we do things, we have to understand that there are consequences, you know. And once you understand, you make an informed decision. And you have to say, well, all right, well, I do this and I know down the road I'll have to pay back.
Definitely. All right, folks, another question here coming. How can men proactively approach their health and well-being as they age to prevent, you know, or manage conditions like andropause? I know you mentioned at age 35 men can start to lose their testosterone, but is there any cases where what is the youngest age you get the andropause?
Well, usually the youngest age would probably be around 40s, right? Late 40s is when it could probably start to impact you very significantly, unless you have been taking certain medications, right? So there are certain steroid medications. Steroids is a very complex thing because there are many different types. Most people tend to know what we call the sex steroids, which would be the testosterone and the estrogen. But there are other types. We have glucocorticoids and we have mineralocorticoids. So there are, if we go into the amounts, there are over 30 different types. You understand? It's very complex. If you're on certain steroid medications and then you rapidly come off, then you can be in problems. So people who have certain autoimmune conditions, right? They tend to be on things like prednisolone for a long period of time and stuff. That can affect your steroid levels. So those certain conditions, as well as severe inflammatory conditions as well too, can require the use of steroids. Things like obviously asthma, COPD, right? You may be on inhaled steroids and even the oral steroid as well too. And obviously certain cancers as well too, you know. So essentially, we're going back to having the regular checkups, right? Men, I think the times have changed so much. Yes, you know, you need to be strong as a man. But because of the increasing amount of attacks against men in all forms, right, you have to now take the prerogative to seek out your health way more than before. Before, you could have gotten away with it. Let's be real.
Right.
You know, your ancestors, your grandfather, they lived a much healthier lifestyle. And it was easy to do, right? You're getting the food from the backyard. You know, your chicken, you pull them out from the backyard. You cook them, right? Easy. Now, you're plagued with all the fried foods and all these. It's not easy to avoid. And if you're really being real, right? If you can't avoid these things, then you have to now be proactive. You have to say, well, we are bombarded by all these things. Let me go and get my checkup. I'm 30. You know what?
Right.
Let me do my blood test. You know, every year you do your blood test, you do your blood pressure, your vitals, all these things. And you can optimally see what's happening with your body and now say, all right, the blood pressure is high. Let me fix that. You know, right. I don't want a heart attack when I'm 40. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
All right. There's a question coming in here. I guess he's asking, can anything be taken to address erectile dysfunction? He's 61 years old.
Yes, there are very potent medications for erectile dysfunction. However, we need to find out what is the cause. That is the first thing, right? Because there are many different causes.
Mm-hmm.
Low testosterone is one, mm-hmm. but there are other things like lack of sleep. There are other things like mental situations, right? Because there's also a mental component to an erection as well, too. There's a partner component, too. And then we have other factors such as obesity, lack of exercise, and all these things, right? So what I would say is, one, you have to find out the cause, because it doesn't make sense just taking a medication just like that when it can be treated way easier, such as exercise. We have data to suggest 6 months of exercise mm-hmm. in somebody who has erectile dysfunction most times improves it,
mm-hmm.
right? And can resolve it. That easy, right? That is the easiest thing, one. Two, are you having other disorders like metabolic problems? Are you having diabetes, high blood pressure? These things affect the vessels to the testes, right? And the scrotum, and can, and also the penis, and can affect blood flow, which can cause erectile dysfunction as well too. So my advice, you have to find out what's the cause of the erectile dysfunction before you go on a medication just like that.
All right, so if you use steroids like prednisone,
right.
I hope I spelled it correctly. Anyway,
yeah.
mm-hmm. if you use it for a while, what are the side effects?
So specifically prednisolone, some of the side effects include you can have high blood pressure. So there's something called Cushing's or Cushingoid features, right? So one, you can have something called abdominal stri, so you could get stretch marks in the belly. Two, you could have increased centripetal adiposity, which means, long story short, the belly gets big, right? You can have weakened bones, which sets you up for osteoporosis. You can also have a weakened immune system. So lower immunity sets you up for increased risk of infections, right? It can also irritate the stomach and cause problems with the stomach, right? And it can also affect the kidneys in certain circumstances. Those are some of the major side effects of prednisolone. However, I don't recommend that you just stop it just like that because you can end up in big trouble if you stop a medication like that just like that, because it's actually controlling certain hormone levels in the blood. So I'm sure that if you've been placed on it, there's for a reason. And we always look at the benefits versus risk before, because all these things are long-term side effects, not short-term. Prednisolone has its uses in the acute setting, whether it be for an asthma flare or COPD flare. You know, even in COVID, we are using something called dexamethasone, which is 4 times stronger than the prednisolone, which is actually used to decrease the inflammation in the setting of COVID in the lungs and stuff too.
Right. So the person wants to know, could you get erectile dysfunction by using that particular steroid?
It's not typically associated with it, no.
All right. Can Peyronie's disease heal without medication?
Well, you have to really have your diet and exercise on point, because, you know, in terms of the blood flow, you know, the blood flow is very important. If you don't have proper blood flow and proper immunity, well then, no, you know. So I would say it's very difficult, because the fact that you got it already suggests that things were not good. And I wouldn't want to fool myself and say that, you know, I could do this by myself. If you got the thing to begin with, the mind has to be very strong and resilient to really, you know, take on that challenge to do it by yourself. I would suggest it lies with the doctors, and let them prescribe the medication, and you can work with them in tandem, doing your diet and your exercise as well too. And if all else fails, well, I mean, the doctors are there to help. Yeah.
Is it true that the best diet to build your testosterone is like weight training?
Definitely the best exercise, weight. So strength training is the best thing that you can do to build the testosterone, which will also increase your bone density and prevent you getting osteoporosis and stuff like that too.
All right, so let's take a short break and we come back with more of your lunchtime doctor. Remember, the numbers are 625-2257. WhatsApp us at 3061065. Also, you can message Sangeet or Sky 99.5 as well.
Introducing Solutions Limited, where best-in-class technology meets transformation. Calibra, your reliable ally in cybersecurity, dark web security, data privacy, and business intelligence, stands proudly as an official partner of Darktrace, Searchlight Cyber, OneTrust, and Click. Calibra safeguards your company's critical infrastructure while unlocking new value sources and actionable insights for your business. Call Calibra now at 221-6831. Visit www.calibrasolutions.com or email info@calibrasolutions.com for a free consultation or demo.
Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages, and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts. All to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrists and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sojano Street, Arima.
Yes, folks, and once again, your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. Dalton Brown Optometrists uses the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams, OCT testing, pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and more. Just ask. Dalton Brown Optometrist also provides a range of stylish and practical spectacle frames and sunglasses. They also provide soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contacts, all to meet your needs. Right? Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their location at the corner of Queen and Sozano Streets out there in Arima. Some questions coming in here for the lunchtime doctor. Hi, doctor. I have high blood pressure and a regular heart rate. What can I do?
Hello, hello. Thank you for that question. So that's a very interesting combination. So one thing is that high blood pressure can actually increase the size of your heart, right? Last time we spoke about the atrial fibrillation. So it can increase the size of your heart and can actually set you up for things like atrial fibrillation. So I suspect it may be that that is what is happening. So you have high blood pressure along with palpitation. So definitely, one, you have to take the medication that is prescribed to you, right? Don't miss the days. Take the medication, one. Two, you need to fix your diet, low-salt diet. Three, exercise. You want to do 150 minutes of moderate intensity, which is as simple as walking for the week, right? 150 minutes per week, walking. Easy, right? And if you're having palpitations, then you probably need to see the doctor for him to do an ECG at the least to decide, okay, what type of rhythm is the heart in? And based on what he sees, he will decide if he needs to give you long-term medication or short-term medication.
All right, folks. So our friends at Dalton Brown, they just checked in. So this is an online Zoom interview with Reagan Prosper and Miss Andrea Carter, expert optometrist. They're here to discuss the Cataract Awareness Month, right? So we're going to be talking about that. So we say good afternoon to our friends here at Dalton Brown.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. So
yes, thank you for having us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here, Miss Regan Prosper and Miss Andrea Carter. Can you start by just reminding all the listeners, what is a cataract?
Sure, definitely. So cataracts are basically a clouding of the natural lens in our eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, it usually happens with age, but there are many different causes, such as trauma. Now, this is caused by the proteins in the lens. It starts to break up and clump together, causing the lenses to become a little bit cloudy there, which eventually affects our vision.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, you know, you said that essentially as you age, these things happen, but can young people get cataracts?
Yes, definitely. Young people can get cataracts. Now, what we usually expect with young children is congenital cataracts. Mm. So those children who may have been born with cataracts or it developed within the first year, now they can also get traumatic cataracts. So anyone at any age can develop a cataract due to trauma. So any injury to the eyes, such as a blunt force or any penetrating trauma, can actually cause a cataract to be formed. Now, it may not actually be formed immediately. It may take a few days or even a few years to develop.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I know it's so important, you know, in terms of maternal screening as well, to looking for these, the torch infections, you know. These things are so important because they can prevent certain eye diseases too. Yeah,
definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So I know we hear a lot about glaucoma, but is glaucoma, you know, different to cataract?
Yeah. So that's actually a very common question that we get. So Ms. Carter, you want to take this question?
Sure. So both cataract and glaucoma, they are different things. As Ms. Prosper mentioned earlier, a cataract is a clouding of the lens within our eyes that affects our vision, whereas with the glaucoma, it's an eye condition that causes permanent vision loss and blindness due to damage of the optic nerve behind the eyes. Now, a lot of patients tend to mix up the both, but what we have to understand is that with the cataract, there's an easy fix to that, which is doing the cataract surgery to regain your vision. Mm-hmm. However, with the glaucoma, once the damage is done, it's done. You cannot get back the vision that you lost. Mm-hmm. The only thing that you can do to preserve the vision that you already have would be to do your proper treatment with the ophthalmologist.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any benefit or use to glasses, you know, if you have a cataract, or should you be wearing glasses if you have a cataract?
So yes, actually in the early stages, the glasses will help as the cataract is small, so the effects on your eyes will be very minimal. Mm-hmm. However, as the cataract worsens, there will be a point where the glasses won't be able to help. So at that point, the only thing that would be considered will be the cataract surgery.
Right. And in terms of the cataract surgery, is there like a process or a preparation in terms of getting the surgery? Like, what is the end point, or when do you say, you know what, this person needs cataract surgery now?
Right. So usually, again, when we try testing and the glasses is not helping, at that point, the surgery will be recommended, as well as the cataract surgery is dependent on the patient. What we do recommend, once it starts to affect your daily activities, such as reading, cooking, driving, watching TV, and all those things, it would be a good time to get the surgery done.
Mm-hmm. And for the surgery, where would you recommend, or where can the surgery be done?
All right. So in Trinidad, we actually have the option of doing it privately, mm-hmm, or through the public healthcare system.
Right.
Now, the main difference that you might get between these two is the waiting time. Mm. So in the public healthcare system, they usually have a criteria, and because there's so much patients coming in there with cataracts, there's a little wait time in the public system there. Mm. Now, privately, you may be able to get that cataract removed much sooner if needed.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. I like how you said a little waiting time.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I know it could vary from institution to institution. But
definitely.
So after you had the cataract surgery, would the person require glasses, or is it a case by case?
Right, so this is a great question, and I would try my best to answer it the best I can within my scope of practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, as we know, the ophthalmologists, they are the eye care specialists who actually perform the cataract surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
So, in case anyone actually forgot what happens in the surgery, that cataract or that clouded lens is removed, and a new lens, a clear artificial lens, is placed into the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So we call that an intraocular lens, or an IOL for short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's different aspects we can look at. So there's actually different types of IOLs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to go in depth with that.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, it all depends on how is your vision after the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you had the surgery done, but you are still experiencing some blurry vision. And your eyes are fully healed, the doctor, the ophthalmologist says, okay, your eyes are healed, but you are still getting some blurry vision, whether it be things far away or things close up. Now, at that point, you may be able to benefit from glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only way that you would know for sure is by doing that eye exam,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be able to tell you, okay, yes. So you will be able to benefit from glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to the surgery, you may have an idea that you will need glasses, and the ophthalmologist will be able to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly after the surgery is done, we'll get to know exactly how the eyes are doing and how well the eyes have healed.
Mm-hmm. Is that surgery risky?
I wouldn't say it's a risky surgery. Now, with all surgeries, there are complications that
mm-hmm.
can happen,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually a very simple procedure, and it's usually just about 15 minutes long.
Mm.
And they just, most of the time, they make a little tiny incision, remove that lens, and put in the new lens.
Wow.
I wouldn't say it's a risky one, but with all surgeries, there are complications that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Is there the ability to redo a surgery if, like, let's say, or is it possible that after they do the surgery, that the new lens that they put in, like over a few
mm-hmm.
years or whatever, it doesn't work anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's actually a thing. So there's actually a time period for the lenses in the eyes,
mm-hmm.
and the ophthalmologist will guide on that.
Mm-hmm.
But once, most people, they do cataract surgery later on in life.
Right.
So they hardly ever have to go back in and change the lens.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes if you do the cataract surgery earlier on in life, you may have some changes later down, which may cause you to actually need to change your lens.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say something that develops what we call a second cataract, which
mm-hmm.
actually causes some blurry vision after the surgery, caused by some tissue developing in the by the lens there, then you'll have to go back into the eyes and try to clear up that. They most likely might use a laser to clear up your vision there.
Wow. Wow. Very comprehensive. So,
yeah.
I mean, if any of the listeners have any questions, yeah?
I'm seeing a WhatsApp message here. What can be done for limited eye movement? And, well, I can't take much like in my eyes day or night. The eyes will be watering and, well, closing down when the light hits.
Wow.
Right. Okay, so I hear different things going on there. So you're having some limited eye movement as well as light sensitivity going on with the eyes there. Now, firstly, I'd like to start off by saying the first thing that you should do is book an eye exam. So just by hearing that you're having these symptoms, we'll be able to see exactly how we can help you. So now your light sensitivity could be caused by many different things. Now, things like dry eyes could actually increase your sensitivity to light, or you could have some underlying problem going on there. Now, the limited eye movement, that is actually a little bit trickier because there's different things that could actually cause the limited eye movement. Now, there's actually different treatments as well. Sometimes you might benefit from eye exercises, or sometimes it might be a little bit serious and you will need surgery to help that. Now, in order for us to see exactly what's going on with the eyes, we'll definitely need to do an eye exam. And based on what we see, we may need to refer you to the ophthalmologist for further assessment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we just have just about 5 minutes. This question always comes up. How often should one eyes be tested?
Yes. All right. I love this question. So if you're under 18, one-year exams is beneficial. That's good. Over 18, you're going to do eye exams every 2 years. Now, once you're probably over 50 or 60, you're going to go back to eye exams every year. Now, if you have any other problems with the eyes, so let's say you have diabetes or you have glaucoma, now these diabetes could actually affect the eyes. And because of that, we want to do eye exams every year to check for any changes. But the optometrist would be able to advise you each time you come, when is your next visit.
All right. Good afternoon. Can exercise also help glaucoma?
Right. All right. So exercise cannot help glaucoma, right? So glaucoma is usually treated with eye drops. Now, there's other treatment methods, which is surgery. Now, the first line of treatment that we usually see or that is usually done is eye drops. Now, you're going to be using these eye drops for the rest of your life. Now, some people find that, okay, they use the drops for some time, they go by the eye doctor, they go by the optometrist, and their pressure is good, and they stop the drops. That is not how glaucoma works. Yeah. Glaucoma is a lifelong condition. So you're going to be using these drops for the rest of your life. Even if the pressure is within the normal range, what we're trying to do is slow down the actual damage to your optic nerve, which is what happens with glaucoma.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the days, you used to give us, eye drops to use, and you used to wash your eyes. Wash out, remember? You used to make it just wash out your eyes,
right,
just like that?
Yeah, the cup.
The cup, yeah, the cup, and you just used to wash your eyes.
Yes, again. I remember.
Yeah.
I remember those, yeah.
Doctor, good afternoon. I went to the eye clinic in April. My eyes were red. The doctor told me I have red eye and didn't attend to me and gave me an appointment in October. Why it have to be so long? Right now my eyes are blurry. I went to another doctor and they told me I need another surgery and that will cost $25,000. I had two cataract surgeries in both eyes. Wow.
Oh my, that's a lot of things going on there. So you're having the red eye, you had cataract surgery done, and you're not getting seen right now. So, oh gosh, I know in sometimes in the public care system, there's a little wait. And I don't know what's the exact cause, but what we can do is we could try to be seen privately. Now you will get seen a lot faster. Yes, it will be at a cost. But sometimes, you know, you have to make that little sacrifice for the greater good, which is the preservation of your eye health. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are interested, we are available and we can see you to see how best we can help you and maybe refer you to someone to be seen at a quicker date there.
All right. But in the meantime, while you're waiting on that surgery, what is recommended to be done while you are waiting on cataract surgery? Of course, it may depend on how severe your cataracts are, but what are some things that you can do?
Right. So in the meanwhile, well, yes, it depends on how advanced the cataracts are. Now, usually you can't continue using your glasses. It may help just a tad bit, but that's the only thing. Let's say the glasses are not helping you. Your last eye exam was 2 years ago or a year ago. This year you come to check the eyes, the prescription is about the same. The optometrist might tell you, you know what, it doesn't make sense that you update your glasses because your vision is not getting any clearer with the glasses. But if you are getting even the slightest improvement, for some persons that is just enough, even if they're going to use their glasses for maybe 6 months before they get the surgery. Other than that, you want to just make sure you protect your eyes from the sun, as they find that UV light might actually cause the cataracts to progress a little bit faster.
Want to add one thing to Ms. Prosper's point, to also control any health issues within your body, so diabetes, hypertension, all those things. If it's not controlled with the medication, it also increases the risk of cataract growing at a faster rate as well.
All
right, thank you very much, ladies. We have just a couple of seconds to wrap up. So we say many thanks going out to Miss Reagan Prosper and Andrea Carter for sharing with us today. Don't forget, of course, for all your eye optical frames, contact lenses, and more at the highest quality Service contact Dalton Brown Optometrist at 299-3115. That's 299-3115. Visit them at the corner of Queen and Susano Streets in Arima and find them on Instagram and Facebook at Dalton Brown Optometrist. Dalton Brown Optometrist. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your eyesight is everything. Let the experts at Dalton Brown Optometrists take care of it for you. They are the highest quality technology to provide a range of eye exams such as pathology screening, visual field testing, glaucoma screening, and much more. Just ask. They'll also provide a range of stylish and practical spectacles, frames, and sunglasses for all ages and soft contact lenses, colored contact lenses, and hard contact. All to meet your needs. Contact Dalton Brown Optometrist today at 667-3115 for your consultation. Visit them on social media at Dalton Brown Optometrist and check out their locations at the corner of Queen and Sozano Street, Arima.
All right, so we just wrap it up shortly. So, Dr. Taylor, we were talking about, of course, andropause. We may have to continue and do a part two of this. We had a lot of questions coming in, but we ran out of time. So, yeah. Any final words, last words closing up?
So, final words, if you are experiencing low energy levels, decreased libido or sex drive, erectile dysfunction, depression, irritability, loss of muscle mass, I would say that this can affect your overall well-being, your relationships, and your mental health. Do go and get checked out by a doctor.
All right, thank you there very much. Of course, folks, you've been listening to The Lunchtime Doctor right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, and Sangeet 106.1. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.